a quote that I love, and it goes like this. It says, "It is easy to sit up and take notice. What is difficult is getting up and taking action."
Amen.
Hear it again. It's easy to sit up and take notice, but what's difficult, what's critical, is getting up and taking action.
Amen.
This quote feels to me like the theme that the book of Acts keeps coming around, keeps pulling us toward again and again, about going from noticing what God is doing around us to getting up and living it out, to letting God's goodness move us into telling a new story. This is what Acts points us toward. And this passage that you've just heard is the biggest example of them all. There's no other story in the book of Acts that gets this much attention, which is a good indicator, like I said, that it was critical for the early church. So here it is in a nutshell, in case you couldn't keep track in the scripture reading. Peter's coming back from his time in Caesarea to find the people in Jerusalem furious with him. They can't believe that he's chosen to eat with people who don't follow Jewish customs and laws about food restrictions. They're furious that he has let the outsiders in. This was one of the main questions for the early church. Who was in and who was out? What rules had to be followed, and what could fall by the wayside? These weren't any small questions. These were questions that dug into a sense of people's identity, their history, and their sense of security. Remember, these were Jewish people still living under the oppression of the Roman Empire. Gentiles weren't just different, they were threatening. They were, in many cases, the oppressor. And so rules about who was in and who was out, they functioned as a safeguard for people in a lot of ways. But here's Peter, this devoted, rule-following apostle, suddenly saying, "It's okay to let the Gentiles in."
Amen.
For anyone who has known Peter, this would seem out of character. They would, at this point, be wanting to check on him, maybe to see if he needs some water, to make sure he's okay. But the thing is, he is okay, more than okay. And the way that he proves it to that gathering of people in Jerusalem is by telling a story. He says that he was praying in Joppa, and God gave him this vision, a vision of foods that weren't kosher, all on this blanket coming down from the heavens, and he heard a voice saying, "Eat, Peter. What God has made clean, you must not call profane."
Amen. Amen.
Peter says that he debated with that divine voice, that every inclination in him said that this went against everything he'd been taught, everything about being Jewish. But three times that voice told him, "Eat. Do not profane what God calls clean."
Amen.
After this, three men came to him, three Gentile men, and the Spirit told him not to worry that they were Gentiles, but to go with them, which he did.
Amen.
He went, he met the leader of their house, Cornelius, and while he spoke, the Spirit fell on the whole household, just like it had on the apostles at Pentecost. God didn't wait until that household had converted to Judaism. God didn't wait until they had turned from their Gentile ways. No, God's Spirit fell on them just as they were. And Peter was left asking himself, who am I to hinder God? So imagine that Peter tells this story to the leaders of Jerusalem, apostles and believers who moments before were enraged with him, but we're told that you could have heard a pin drop. That after this story, there was silence. Something in Peter's story resonated with them, connected with them on a deep level. Something in his story said to them, pay attention. You see, they probably felt as if God was up to something even before then, if they were honest. They'd probably noticed the Spirit nudging them to cross their borders. There had been Saul's calling. There had been the Ethiopian's conversion. It all fit into what Jesus did regularly. Jesus, who was never one to follow custom at a dinner party, and who always seemed to be eating with sinners and with outcasts. If they were honest, Jesus had been holding up a mirror for them about the very God that the Jewish people had believed in all along. The God who created the whole world. The God who encouraged the people to welcome the stranger and not oppress the outcast. The God who so often chose the least expected people, the least worthy, and the outsiders to do God's work. This had been God's story all along, really, but it took a story from the most rule-abiding apostle to bring that community back to who they really were. To who their God really was. T.S. Eliot once wrote this. He said, we must not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring shall be to arrive where we began and know the place for the first time. The apostles and believers who were so outraged with Peter that day needed a reminder not only of who they were, but of whose they were, of the place they began, of the origin of their being. They needed a reminder of who their God was and is and always would be. And that reminder came in the form of a story. A strange, wild, convoluted story, but a story that in its telling left them speechless. Stephen Jones, who is the pastor of Second Baptist Church in St. Louis, Missouri, noted this particular fact in an article he wrote on today's passage. He noted that this huge, pivotal, biggest controversy in the early church was not settled through debate or through argument. Peter did not present a 5-point rationale for why it was okay to eat with Gentiles or why they no longer needed to be circumcised before believing. He didn't present a case. He simply told a story. Stories, Jones argues, they're the things that can change lives. Stories, he says, are the things that connect us, that bring us together. Debates and arguments, they tend to keep two sides apart. In debates, there are winners and losers. But in a story, people are invited across the chasm. In a story, everyone has the chance for conversion. Jesus knew this, of course. That's why his most difficult lessons were told through parables, through stories, because people could connect with them. And that's just what happens here. Peter shared a story and people found connection. Only this story is not about anything Peter did. It's about, as all stories in the Bible are, what God has done. And he tells those people in Jerusalem, "This is my story, but it could have been yours. God could have done this to you. God could have met you in that room in Joppa and opened you up and reminded you of who God has always been." Just like that story of the prodigal who was welcomed home, that could have been you. Just like that story of a Samaritan of all people who cared for a hurting one on the side of the road, that could have been you.
Amen.
Just like any time faith takes on flesh and the kingdom of God feels a little bit closer, that could be you. God could give you a vision of the kingdom gates thrown wide. That could be your story. At that meeting in Jerusalem, Peter shared his story, and it connected to those people on a deep level, connected them to their own story, to who they truly were. And it says that after their silence, they rejoiced and they praised God. You see, throughout Acts, we keep learning how people took notice of what God was up to. How they saw indications here and clues there that God was encouraging them, nudging them, leading them. They could sit up and take notice. But what was incredible was that they got up and took action.
Amen.
God inspired them to move,
Amen.
To cross boundaries, to take risks, to sit at table with people they never would have dreamt of dining with.
Amen.
Because it's easy to sit up and take notice. But it's critical to get up and take action.
Amen. Amen.
This is the challenge that we are all faced with.
Amen.
We can think through our theology to our heart's content, but God is encouraging us to do more.
Amen.
God is encouraging us to take action, to tell a story with the way we live our lives. To believe and to serve, to have faith and to build relationships,
Amen.
To trust in God and to love one another,
Amen.
Body, mind, and soul.
Yes,
our challenge is to put flesh to our faith, to put action into our words, to find a story that we can tell that can connect people to the incredible wideness of God's love.
Amen.
Because that is what will make all the difference. The Word made flesh.
Amen.
Living as Jesus showed us
where
faith is lived out.
Mm-hmm.
Inviting everyone to come to the table,
Amen.
To taste and know,
Amen.
The goodness of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.